So we thank God for another good morning that God has given us to listen to His word. And indeed, we praise Him and worship Him. Yeah, we're looking at yesterday at the aspect of sonship and looking at the spirit of sonship. And the Bible is telling us that by the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit testifies with our own spirits that we are children of God. And indeed, if we are children, then we are heirs, and if heirs, we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. And there was a part that was very important that said, if indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. And you know, at times you'd ask yourself, you know, and this is a common misconception that is there, that in Christ, when we preach for people in the crusade, we say, come to Jesus, you know, all your problems are going to end, and, you know, it's going to change your life. And yes, that has a very good element of truth. But at times, some people come to Jesus, or they end up having the wrong theology, because they don't associate any form of suffering with Christ. Yet there is a suffering, there is a persecution that comes to test the word, not only to test the word, there's a persecution, there's a suffering that comes to try us, that to perfect us for our faith, that our faith might not just be, you know, unless faith is tested, you will not know that it's there. When you think about Abraham, God promised Abraham, you know, a son, He gave him a son. And yet God still asked Abraham to sacrifice his son Isaac. And Abraham goes with his son 3 days. They walked until they get to the mountain. Then they ask the servants to stay behind. They go up. As they're going up, the son asks the father, Father, I see the knife, I see the fire, I see the wood, but where is the lamb for the sacrifice? You know, and you can see that the moment he lifts his hand to strike his son, then clearly then the voice of God comes and says, Abraham, stop, do not lay a hand on the child, for I now know that surely you believe in me and that you will do everything I've commanded you. So, yes, God knew that Abraham had put his faith in God. And the Bible tells us Abraham believed in God, believed, and it was credited to him as righteousness. But you see, there was still a subjection of the tests that was to determine whether his faith will stand that test. And this is what we go through. And you know, when you think about the parable, you know, the Bible says when persecution comes because of the word, we must be very careful. Or we must know that any time God, you know, allows us to, you know, to share a message, or God gives us a word that is from Him, that there's going to be a shaking that is going to come over the word. Let's say maybe you've been preaching on healing, and you shared on healing, and you had a big revelation on healing. Chances are very high God is going to take you through a process of sickness where that word that you received will be tested, and when that word is tested, then God will really know, and we will truly know that indeed that word has borne fruit in your life, and that word is going to stand. So tests come for various good reasons, and but there is the suffering that is of sons, and it says that if indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified with Him. This is Romans 8:17. And if we read verse 18, it says, For I consider, Romans 8:18, For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly awaits for the revealing of the sons of God. For though the creation was subjected to futility, but not willingly, but because of Him who subjected it in hope, because the creation itself will also be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Verse 22, For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs until now. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly awaiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body, for we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly await for it with perseverance. Now, it's interesting when we see that suffering of this present time is linked to glory. In fact, when it says, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. There are usually two types of suffering. There is a suffering that comes because of your faith, because you have done the right thing. Then there is a persecution that comes. Jesus spoke about it clearly. He said, I did not come to bring peace on the earth, but I came to bring a sword between a man and his wife, between a family and families, between a brother and a sister, between a parent and a child. There is a sword that the gospel brings that you find that this person that was in this religion with their family, and when they turn away, then they are left alone. There is that division that comes, and that brings about a form of persecution, a form of suffering, that whether we see it or not, it is bound to come, and we have a responsibility by the grace of God to prepare and to also know that in due season, in due time, this are bound to come. Parable says the persecution comes because of the word. So the first suffering is the suffering that comes to test the word, to test our faith, to test the genuineness of our faith. You know, it comes also because, you know, of God wanting to grow us, God wanting us to be matured. You know, James speaks about it. He said, count it pure joy when you face trials and temptations of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance, and perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and fully complete, not lacking anything. God wants you and I to be complete. God wants our faith to be tried, that we may learn to depend on him, that even in tough moments we can know we can depend on him. And that is why he doesn't, there are challenges that come that they don't seem like they are ending now. They don't seem like they are ending in, you know, in the immediate time. It might be, you know, a conflict. It might be an issue at home. It might be a sickness. But it seems like it is dragging and dragging and dragging. And you're praying through it. You're crying through it. And each time, like Paul, God just gives you a little grace. He just says, okay, you can hold on today. My grace is sufficient for you. He enables you to think through. He enables you to be guided, to be directed, because God wants to mature you. But then, of course, there is the other suffering that comes for doing the wrong thing. I mean, if you are supposed to be at work and you're not at work and you're fired because of that, you will not say that, oh, they're persecuting me because I'm a Christian. No. At that point, you are supposed to be somewhere else. You're supposed to do the right thing at the right time, and you did not do it. So in such cases, then you suffer for being an evildoer, you suffer for being a wrongdoer. Then in that case, that is not linked to glory. But every suffering that is linked to our faith, that is linked for doing the right thing, God has a way of hiding it in glory. I was listening to one of the pastors, and he was giving a good analogy. And he said that the anointing is a call to suffer. And of course, someone will be like, why should the anointing be a call to suffer? And he puts it this way, that, you know, many times when someone goes like, oh yes, I want the anointing, I want to receive the mantle of this and this. But if you look at the scriptures, you will see that the anointed ones were the ones who are always running into the forerun. You know, they're the ones who are the ones who, in case there was, you know, there was war, there was an animal that needed to be killed. Think about Goliath. You know, when Goliath was shouting over all Israel, you know, give me a man to fight with me, you know, and abusing the gods, the God of Israel with his gods. Then the anointed, who was David, heard that. He was stirred up, and he went and stood in the gap over Israel. So the anointing calls you forth to defend people. It calls you forth to stand, to fight, and it calls you to suffer. You would have thought that David was anointed to be king and immediately he will run into the palace. No. God takes him near the throne, first of all as a musician, to have an idea of how things run. He becomes the armor bearer of Saul, but then the persecution starts. He eventually has to run away from Saul. He runs day and night. You can see all the suffering, all the crying that he does in the wilderness, the songs that he sings, going through from cave to cave. But all these moments, God is working on his heart. God is trying his heart. God is perfecting him such that he shall not bring him shame. Anytime you find that God is hard on you, just know that God wants to glorify you. There are many, many promotions that come to us that are hidden in challenges, that are hidden in situations that are delaying, that are hidden in moments that seem like they're not ending. That is how God packages glory. The glory that you are expecting, the promotion that you're expecting, the blessing that you're expecting, the favor that you're expecting, many times will come packaged in suffering, packaged in a challenge, packaged in a trial. And that, but God tells you the sufferings of this present world, of this present time, are nothing compared to the glory that shall be revealed in you. If our perspectives were different, then we would embrace challenges. From experience, and even everyone who has gone through challenges, challenges are not sweet. There is a way that God has customized challenges for each and every one of us. And he knows the kind of trials that are able to get you. I mean, if you've already overcome the test of money, then that might not be an area of trial, because he knows you have learned, like Paul, I've learned how to abase and how to abound. I've learned how to, to be in little and to be in much. Then that might not be a test in you. But then he might know you have a place, maybe you have a place that needs to be tested, maybe in your relationships. And he brings a strain in your relationship, or allows a strain to come. And it brings you to the core. It brings you to the core. And yet the scripture says, if you fall in the day of adversity, how weak is your strength? God wants us to be strengthened, that even in the day of adversity, even in the day of trial, that we can remember that this is the packaging that our promotion comes. Because many times we can easily be offended, yet God has packaged that moment for our next step. He does not want us to be offended. But if we see things the way he sees it, then we'll know that that glory comes packaged in trials. The Bible tells us Jesus, for the joy set before him, endured the shame of the cross, scorning its shame. He looked ahead, and he knew that there is a glory that awaits him. There is something that is of greater value that can enable him to persevere the challenges of today, to the pain of the cross, the beatings over his back, the thorn over his head, everything that he went through, the thirst, the everything. He was just looking unto the glory that shall be revealed. And God wants his children to be glorified. Says, for those who for him foreknew, he predestined. For those he predestined, he called. And for those he called, he justified. And for those he justified, he glorified. Suffering and glory are linked together. This might, someone has gone to the U.S. and they have done everything right. They've been, serving God. They've been doing this. And they get deported. And the person was asking, what, I did everything right. I was a right Christian. I did not make a mistake. I did not steal at work. I was faithful and all that. But why did I end up kicked out? Why did I end up kicked out of the country? It's because we have missed out the balance that comes from Scripture. God knows where each and every one of us needs to be per time. And at times when we refuse to obey, then He allows certain things to test us, to push us back into our destiny. No, I love how Hebrews 12 puts it. There is no child that is legitimate that does not undergo discipline, except you are an illegitimate child. And yet we are not illegitimate children. God treats us as sons because God disciplines those that He loves. Everyone that He has accepted as a son, He has disciplined. God enables us. He enables us through the trials. You know, it's like when you're cooking something and you're cooking rice, you know, and you've just put in the fire, but then when the water is about to go down, then you reduce the heat. You reduce the heat and you're there monitoring such that the water reduces just right and that the food is cooked perfectly with, you know, the right temperature to ensure there is no burning, there is no sticking on the pan and all that. Yes, that is how God works with us. He allows the fire to come, but He controls the duration of that trial. He controls the intensity of the trial. He's the one that is holding, you know, that thermostat. He's the one that is holding that temperature control. He knows that at this point, your breaking point may just about to be reached. Then that is when He lowers it. You know, the darkest night is just before dawn. Just when He says, just hold on a little. In a little while, I am coming. God says, just hold on. Hold on a little while. I am coming. Do not give up. Do not look back. Do not be those who put their hands to the plow and turn back. No. Stay focused. In a little while, the Lord is coming back. The Lord is coming. He says, when I come back on the earth, will I find faith in the earth? Will I find faithful men still waiting on me? Or will I men take their own hands, take things into their own hands and fight their way out? You know, there are people who say, ah, God is delaying. I need to help God. God is delaying. He's taking His time. There was a story of one of the guys who was a child of a pastor, and he wanted quick answers. He wanted life to move faster, so he moved from church to church. When that one was not happening at the speed he wanted, then he went to witch doctors and all that. And then he said the person that actually preached to him was a witch doctor. Because he went to a witch doctor and the witch doctor asked him, but you, why have you come here? You go back to the God of your father. Because his father was a pastor. So go back to the God of your father. Your God is slower, but He will give you the best results. He is the best. The man, of course, was arrogant, but over time he remembered that even the witch doctor could point him to the light. And you know, at times that is even the voice of God speaking through those people. Redirecting you, because God can use anyone. He could use a donkey. Even in the scripture, it says when people go to false prophets, it is God who can answer them through that false prophet, because they want to end up in destruction, continue in destruction. You still go back to the God of your father. He might be slow, but ultimately, He's the one that carries the true results that we are looking for. Let us not worry about time, you know. At times we want to achieve things. Oh, by the time I'm 40, I need to have done this. I need to have done this. Oh, by the time I'm 45, I need to have reached this. I need to have done this. Oh, by the time I'm 50, then you start feeling, oh, I'm behind time. No. The Bible says, my times are in His hands. God has said, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. When our days are numbered, then we walk in wisdom. We redeem the time. There is a place for redemption of time where we take back things that we could have acquired in 30 years can be given to you in three years. Why? Because God is a redeemer of time. redeem time by being in the presence of God. One day in the house of the Lord is better than 1,000 days elsewhere. One day is 1,000 years to God. That means to God, when you spend time with Him, you're basically redeeming time. You're bringing things closer to you. God gives you strength to go through the trials. Remember, glory comes hidden in suffering. Glory comes hidden in trials. Glory comes hidden in testations. And even in those moments, yes, the examiner may be silent, but he desires that you pass and is going to help you pass. God is able to make you stand. No temptation has come to you that is not common to man. And in all these things, God is able to make you stand up under it. That means you can lift it. You are well able, not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit of God. May God continue to enable us and to strengthen you and to give you His grace in all things. I'll stop here, my brother. You're welcome.
Thank you, Dr. Mama. No additions for that, sir.
No. Let us pray. I believe there are people who need that comfort and that encouragement. Let us pray. Father, I thank you. I thank you that in moments like this, we reflect on the challenges that we go through, on the ongoing trials that your children are facing, one way or another, that worried, when shall it come to an end? But Lord, indeed, we know through your word that you have hidden glory even in moments of suffering, that if indeed we suffer for your sake, we do not suffer as evildoers, but we suffer for the sake of the gospel, be it in various tests and trials. I thank you that you are maturing us. I pray for strength to overcome, strength to persevere, strength to stay focused, to know that you are expressing your love for us, and that your love ensures that we are matured, we are strengthened, we grow to become more and more like you. I pray for encouragement over that person that is going through moments of discouragement, oh God. May your encouragement, may your words come through, may your strength come through, may your power come through, oh God. May we be reminded that you are on the throne and nothing catches you by surprise. You are able to control the situation, even in the midst of the fire. You are the fourth man walking with us in it. I thank you for our families. Thank you for our children. Thank you for our hands, our workplaces. Thank you for the services today and in various parts of this nation. The Lord, your hand, your power, your presence goes ahead of us, strengthens and watches over us. As we go ahead, may we be successful. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. We pray and believe. Amen. 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 Shalom. Blessed day.